How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. It is a snowy, snowy day here in New York City. It snowed all afternoon. It's actually, it's wild how we no longer get snow here. Maybe this is a change. Maybe now it's going to start happening. I don't know. But a lot of pro wrestling to talk about. John Cena's final match was last night at Saturday Night's Main Event in D.C. It was a two-hour show. The fans were hot. They were into it. And they were outraged that John lost. The fans were outraged. They were booing. They were cursing. They booed Triple H. They cheered for Vince McMahon when they showed him on that video. We'll talk about this. I thought that was interesting. A lot of expectations, right? Like, it depends. What did you expect? What do you want? The tradition is you lose on your way out, and that's what John did. We'll talk about it. Also, AEW Collision in Cardiff was yesterday. It was nice. Afternoon wrestling. Nothing better than that. And the build to World's End, which I think it's going to be a very interesting pay-per-view. I know something our producer MG here doesn't. And I'm not telling them. We'll talk about this and a whole lot more here on the show when we come back. Also, message me. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. Give me your suggestions, your thoughts about what happened with John Cena's final match. I want to hear from you guys. Did you enjoy it? Did you expect him to lose? Did you want him to lose? A lot to break down here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Hit me up on X at Andrew. I still have a hard time at Andrew Zarian. I still have a hard time calling it X. What was wrong with Twitter? He could have kept it that. Does nutty things, that man. Let's talk about this. Saturday night's main event, John Cena's final match, a 20-plus year career ending. You know, before we talk about this card, we should talk about Cena and how polarizing he was to many people in the fan base. You know, he came in at a time that, you know, it was a ruthless aggression era. He was the post Austin era. He was the post Rock era. It was a transition period. He had monster matches, monster feuds. You know, MG, you know, here's a question for you. Out of all the Cena feuds, what were your favorites?
Oh, we talked about some of these on Friday.
But feuds, you know, because he had a number of ones, and then he just stopped working with people. He just kept working with the same people. Like, he just stopped working with new people. Yeah.
Obviously, his big one was Randy Orton. I think that's the defining one of
the last time ever, and then they had it again, right?
Yeah. That one was. I mean, what he did with The Rock was good, but it was short, and, you know, it took years because they were both working
JBL.
Hollywood. Yeah. JBL was probably his first big one, right?
JBL was probably his first big one. Umaga, yeah. That was a huge one that people oversee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some good ones in there.
He had a long, tremendous career. And, you know, it's amazing because now I'm in that position that Dave was in and that Brian was in where, you know, I've hit the age where I've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 42. I'm not. You know, a 20-year-old covering professional wrestling anymore. When I started talking about pro wrestling, I wasn't even 30. What was I, 26, 27? Doing the podcast.
We're
so
old.
I know. Now I'm old. I've been doing this forever. But seeing it through other generational lenses really gives you an appreciation of Cena.
Mm-hmm.
For my wife's cousin, he's 30, maybe 31. John Cena was the man. He was the guy. He was his Hulk Hogan.
I was seeing a lot of that online last night.
And that is a lot. Yeah. And there is a lot of that because, you know, I still, you know, obviously I watched Cena, but I was on the boo side, not the yay side.
I was somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
You know what, though? I always appreciated John. I always thought he was good. I thought he was decent. I just wanted to see someone else. He wasn't the guy for me. But that with that said, I obviously see how great he was. He was fantastic. He just wasn't my dude. But that's a generational thing.
I noticed it last night when they were talking in the post show for WWE. They were mentioning how he was that guy. He was that guy that everybody loved to hate because he was Super Cena. And then last night, everybody was cheering for Super
everybody
Cena
was
to come back.
They were.
It was so
weird. Listen, you know, that's the psychology of it. That's the theatrics of it. You know, it wasn't I always found his push very interesting, but he also was pushed at a very unique time where you had two major tragedies happen that really shifted the presentation of the product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right
not him.
Yeah,
it's not him. You know, he could have still done those bloody matches with, you know, JBL and things could have never changed. I think John Cena suffered from the total 180 that they had to do. Rightfully so, they had to do a 180. I mean, it was, you know, between the drugs and the you know,
a tragedy.
Unfortunately, for that company, a murder suicide had to take place for them to actually make any changes.
And that's just sad to think about.
Which is
now,
insane
right?
to say, but you know, John Cena suffered from those aggressive changes very, you know, in a peak of his run.
You know,
so I think
Cena
a lot
moment,
of those boos came from there.
Cena time was?
Which one?
Is that 2015 US Open Challenge?
Oh,
era.
Yeah. He was great.
That.
I love that.
He
and that was 10 years ago.
Then. Yeah.
That was so 10 good. Years ago. I thought it was great, but last night was John Cena's last match ever. Now, do you believe, and this is a great question for the audience on the radio, the audience listening live online, the audience listening on YouTube, do you think this will be the last John Cena match? He has done the press tour, and he has said, unlike other people, I'm actually not coming back.
Here's the thing about that, Andrew. Yeah, I know you really think he's coming back, but I think he's got the next, I don't know, 4 years mapped out for what projects he's got that he's got coming up. Because I think he's going to bury himself into Hollywood big time and other projects.
Sure,
so
yeah, but
case,
I mean,
you know, because remember, when he said he was retiring, he gave a window of a year, and it was very specific. So I think if he's ever going to wrestle again, it won't be for some time.
No, I don't expect it to be like next week, but you know, that WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia could be very tempting.
I'm sure it could.
There's going to be a lot of those moments. What happens if and here you go. You want that retirement to go out the window. I will give you a great example. The business makes a really bad turn.
Where he feels he has to come back to help.
I'm more than certain that he will feel obligated to have to come back.
I don't know.
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying the reality of a retirement in wrestling is wild, especially if money is thrown at you. One of them was Shawn Michaels. I honestly thought Shawn Michaels would never come back. He turned down so many great match ideas that were presented to him to come back for that tag match, and he ended up having to work the entire match.
Yeah, that was a bad scene.
Whether or not he comes back or doesn't come back, you know,
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
If he comes back, do you want him? Because if
why
he's
not?
Gone, I don't know, man. Sometimes, because he was, you could tell he was aging a little in that match, even though it was a good match.
It was a very good match, and it was with the guy that could give him that match. Yeah of course. Yeah. But you know what? Hulk Hogan did it, and every time that man came out, all the people that were saying, I don't want to see a Hulk Hogan match, were all of a sudden on their feet screaming and yelling and chanting for Hogan. So I don't see him totally disappearing. Maybe a tag match. Maybe he'll come back for a tag match. you know, you have a great story. Some young kid wins the title. He wins it a couple times. He says he's the best, and he can't see him, and nobody sees it coming. But all of a sudden, here's John.
I could see him going the Taker route, where he just shows up and does a spot, and that's it.
I expect that for sure. Yeah, I expect that for sure. But, you know, listen, we'll find out. We'll see. But, you know, if you want to sum up John's career, he was the right guy at the right time in certain moments. He had an uphill battle always. You know, it says a lot about his work ethic when you are the world champion and you are pushing this thing ahead and you have to deal with, like, the Muppets on TV with you. Or you got to deal with Pee Wee Herman or Kevin Federline. Oh. You got to lose to Kevin Federline on TV.
I dropped it from my memory bank. That was terrible.
I got to tell you, I did not. The heat that Kevin got.
That was in the midst of the Britney Spears stuff, wasn't
that
it?
That was, yeah. There was stuff happening there.
Oh, wow.
Kevin Federline. Yeah, he beat him, right? Kevin Federline beat John Cena. I think so. We'll find out after the break. I want to look this up. I'm almost certain he did. When we come back from break, let's talk about Saturday night's main event. Go through this card. Who was there? Who wasn't there? And everything else that happened this week. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Kevin Federline did beat him. It was January 1st, 2007. Quite a dark period in professional wrestling. Not a great time. But last night, a lot of fun watching the show. Watch with the kids. That's my gauge now on what the kids are liking. They had a very long pre-show happening for this thing. You had people like Shawn Michaels, Johnny Gargano, Trish Stratus, Kurt Angle, Mark Henry. Metro Boomin was there. Chuck Zito. Former Hell's Angel. From Oz, Chuck Zito. I guess everybody knows Chuck Zito. He was there.
I know him from Sons of Anarchy.
You know him from Sons of Anarchy, yeah. He was on Oz. I know him from just knowing him. I have so many great Chuck Zito stories. I can never say on the air. He's a real bad, he's a tough guy. Not a bad guy, he's a tough guy. But it was interesting. Stephanie McMahon was at the hostess with Joe Tessitore throughout the entire night, which I liked. That was a different change. Do you want to talk about Jesse Ventura? Did you watch the pre-show?
Yes. I watched part of it. He's so out of touch.
Oh, listen, he's an old man. I'm not gonna knock him, but how many times did he say he went to win it 17 times must win mean that he lost it 17 times. He's a 17-time loser, or whatever he was saying. He said that joke so many times that Big E was like, we get it. We know.
Trying to get him to move on, I know. He kept bringing up how he's like, why would you want your last match against a killer like Gunther? And he's like, he's partially breaking kayfabe. Because
he's always
not even acknowledging there was a tournament.
Yeah. He's not even acknowledging it. I thought it was fun, you know, like it was very long, the pre-show, but I thought it was fun. Steph being there was good. You know, it was a big ceremonial show. And what John had wanted was he wanted this to be an exhibition of NXT talent versus the top talent in WWE. Right. That's pretty much how it was laid out.
Which I thought was a good idea.
I thought it was fun. Listen, you know, it's a big moment, and you're putting these kids, the younger guys and women, on primetime, really, if you think about it, because it's a big moment. The show opened up with Cody Rhodes and Obafemi. Cody is, you know, just Captain America.
Yeah.
He comes out. Great way to start the show. The way they shot Obafemi was so impressive. down that aisle because the aisle was so narrow. They did the old school Saturday Night's Main Event thing or the old school wrestling thing where they jammed that building. There was almost 19,000 people in that building. Yeah. I mean, that is something.
There's 4 feet. 4 feet width.
There's like a 4 foot, arm length, less than that, to go down this aisle, and to the way they shot Obafemi, he looked like a monster. There were people that were watching this, and again, I like to gauge how something is happening, not based on my point of view of watching professional wrestling for my entire life and covering it, but what brings people back. The layman, I don't mean it in a negative, and what do the kids like? I got people were messaging me asking me who the hell this guy is, what champion is he? He was so the people were impressed by him. My kids have no
power
idea.
Walk?
I like it. I like him. I like
his
him.
His little step. When
he has like a little
aisle,
yeah. He has like a step thing. You know, he's like pounding his feet down. I like him. I thought it was interesting. You know, it was a nice contrast between the size of Obafemi and the I guess the polish of Cody and his WWE-ness. I thought it was a very good match. Cody, I think he may have busted an eardrum. He was bleeding from his ear bad after he took that spot on the outside. Was it the outside spot later?
I think so. They did quite a bit. I was. I liked this match until the end.
And the end sucked.
I didn't care for how they ended it, but I get why they did that because they wanted to protect both guys.
But there's so many other unique ways. It was such a cheap way to do it. You know, I have to tell you, WWE has not been. They have not been batting well when it comes to finishes.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
100%. This has not been a oh my god the sky is falling, but it's been a gradual thing that you're noticing now that the finishes are all wacky. Like they're leaning on these kind of finishes to kind of get them out of these boxes.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody would have questioned Obafemi getting a roll-up win, like, I got you, ha-ha, or Cody, you know, doing something on Obafemi, saying, like, listen, kid, you're still working your way up. I don't think it would have been a negative for either one to give some
sort
of ending.
You know what I
would
like better, and it's still a bad ending, is a double count-out. I would have loved that.
Or you could have said, you know, since it's an exhibition, we have a 15 or 20-minute time limit, and they go to a time limit draw, they could do that. WWE never does those. I'm tired of these, you have this great match, things are working out, people were really behind Obafemi, they got into him, that crowd was hot, that was a good crowd, and Drew McIntyre comes in, just sucks the energy out of it.
Yeah.
And obviously now they're leaning into Cody and Drew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course that's by design, that's what they wanted, but, you know, Drew starts pummeling Cody, Oba stopped him. So now you may have an Obafemi thing. You may have a Cody, Oba and Drew thing. You're going to have a Cody and Drew thing. All right.
It's pretty obvious. You know, we're going to see a lot of these NXT guys in the Royal Rumble, including him and Bron Breakker. They have to push these guys this next year.
They got to push them, and they got to push them aggressively. Yes. Yeah, because you need to create these guys. And WWE has done a tremendous job at creating really high-end, high-tier female talent in that company. They have not done the same for the men. And I'm wondering if we may see it with these guys. I mean, listen, Obafemi's great. Will he be the guy? I don't know. I don't know how it'll work on the main roster. You know, if you had asked me, given me a list of talent that I thought would have been top guys in that company, none of it happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time that Adam Cole was set to be world champion in a lot of people's minds. That Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa would be dominant on the main roster. Center focus.
They're just there. They're there.
Everybody's just there, though. Nakamura. Yeah. You know, you go down that NXT from 2017, 2016. Kevin Owens really is the only one, but really, we could go down this rabbit hole and it could take hours to talk. Sol Ruka versus Bayley. What do you think of Sol Ruka?
She's got a quirky physique. She's really tall and lanky, but she's athletic.
She has something. This was the first time that I've seen her presented like so well like this.
I love that she does that handstand move where she flips over and instead of rolling through, she does a handstand and comes back.
Yeah, super athletic. Super athletic. But everybody is. Yeah. But everybody is now. You know, like
right now that. Now you got to find your own gimmick within that space, and that's where the artistic comes in more than what we remember is when I was younger.
Yeah, Sol Ruca got the win over Bayley. This is fine. You know, it was a display for Sol Ruca. They needed somebody on the NXT side to win something.
Yeah.
And this was it.
And Bayley can suffer the loss and not yeah. even blink. Yeah. yeah, she's not getting hurt by it.
The next match, I wish this had more time. Dragon Lee and AJ Styles, AJ Lee, defeated Javon Evans and Leon Slater. But they only had like 6 minutes and change.
Yeah, it was a short match, but they did a lot in there. And what I loved about this match is how Evans and Slater started. They started so hot. They just went after and AJ and Dragon Lee, and it started so hot. It made it start different. I was like, okay, you need this. Because I knew we were going to get a methodical match for the main event, so I'm glad they put this there.
Yeah, I this was fine. You know, it was too short, though, and I think they'll probably continue doing something here because these guys were working really well. Isn't it Isn't AJ Styles' final year?
Supposedly, he says this is going to be it, so we'll see what they do with him for this year. But,
yeah,
there's still some matches I would love to see him have that we can revisit.
So, after this match, the Miz was in the ring. Stephanie was speaking.
She went to say the word awesome, and she got interrupted.
And she got interrupted by the Miz, yeah. In the ring because he wanted to be on the show. He claimed that he was one of John's best opponents. Here comes R-Truth, dressed up like
a lot of us.
Yeah, R-Truth is dressed up like Cena. He comes out to confront him for rigging the ballot for the tournament. He has the ball with the name on it that was left out, and it's Joe Hendry. Truth and Joe beat up The Miz. They do the pose. They had the music. It was a fun little segment for that audience. They enjoyed it. Okay. Was it needed? No, but you know what? It was your interlude before the main event. It was fine. There was a lot of people missing, though. I thought they would have done more. Whatever. It was what it was.
Yeah.
When we come back from break, we're going to go into the main event here because I have a lot to talk about with this main event and what it means and what's happening with John and what they did afterwards because a lot of people were upset with this, how it ended. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Gunther, John Cena, the last time ever. Big reaction for John. Gunther had so much heat, first of all. Gunther comes out, so much heat. That crowd is booing him because they know what's coming. John comes out, huge reaction. You know, he's John Cena. He does his John Cena thing. First part of the match was power moves for Cena. There was an AA on the announce table. I think, you know, you're talking about an opponent for Cena and to be able to match his speed and everything. I think Gunther was the right guy. Gunther was the right person to match Cena. I thought they did a great job. This was a very good match. Is that a 5-star classic? No, doesn't need to be. It's not what it's needed for. Second half of the match was methodical. It was Gunther trying to keep, was constantly trying to put him in a sleeper. Around the last 10 minutes of the show. That was the story here. He's going to make him sleep.
It was all hope spots.
He was going to make him go to sleep. Doesn't happen. Instead, John taps out.
With a smile on his face.
He tapped out in the end. at this point, the crowd was pissed. They did not want to see John Cena lose. They were chanting BS. They were chanting words I can't say on the radio.
AEW
chant on the post show.
Yeah.
Listen, I think that's part of the fun of this, but you know, after the match, Cena left the ring to take it all in. The entire roster came out. He was left in the ring. I'm sorry, he didn't leave the ring. He stayed. Entire
they
roster
a video.
Comes out.
They did a really good video package.
Yeah, with Vince in it, right? Vince was in that video
package.
Yeah,
that's one where Vince was in it, yep.
I can't believe how many people, and people have very short memories. All my timeline was Vince would have never done this. Triple H's booking is terrible.
Vince would have done the same thing.
I go exactly. Vince, are you forgetting years of
You're
booking
going out on your back? Yeah.
you are leaving. You have to put the talent over that's here. That's how he's always operated. That's how wrestling has always operated. It's fine to do it every now and then. And listen, should Cena have won? Would it have made a difference? That's my question to you. I don't think so.
I think it would have made a difference in the short term, but in the long term, it would have hurt Gunther a little bit.
Now Gunther could claim that he is the man that beat John Cena.
And that's a very positive arc for his career going forward, because they're going to need a big... Because now he's a menacing heel, and you need a few to mix in.
You need a few. And listen, this is not a Baron Corbin moment. People are like, oh, it's like Baron Corbin. No, it's not. Baron Corbin, no disrespect. He's not Gunther. He's not Gunther. He's never been positioned to be like Gunther. It was a very different program, and it was very rushed. This took its time. They had this plan from the beginning. John put on a great John Cena match. Gunther was a perfect opponent for him. Did I love the match? It was fine. It was fine for what it was. After the match, CM Punk comes out and Cody, they put their titles on the shoulders of John and made him pose exactly the way that John and Batista put the title on Hogan's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I thought that was a nice touch.
It was a very nice touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very nice touch.
It was pretty cool. And they were, you could tell, I don't know if that was entirely planned. You could tell they kind of, maybe Cody and Punk backstage said, hey, let's just go put the titles on his shoulders. Well, it was nice.
Yeah.
You know, people got the farewell I thought was good. It was done well, you know.
It was fun. And the crowd was not happy. They had a very nice video package. Vince was in it. I think his father was in it.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I can say this. People will, regardless of the finish, they're gonna say I was at his last match. They will have that memory.
And they will have that memory and they will not have the money in their bank account. Yep. Those tickets were expensive. This was fine. He removed his shoes and his wristbands and he left them in the ring and he is gone. Triple H on the finish to John Cena's last match. I will do what I believe is right for the business. This was him being interviewed after in the post show, and the crowd was booing him. They were chanting AEW. Whatever. Hey, you think he gives a crap? He doesn't. He was heavily booed. I mean, he was really heavily booed. Is this true?
This is me. This is my thought.
Okay, this is your thought. Like,
So I'll
at least you're booing, you're not getting batteries thrown at you. You know, you're getting booed.
Yeah. But this is back in the 70s when they're before TV and it was all the house shows. The heels would leave the ring and people were waiting for him because they wanted to beat him up.
Heel heat is good.
Nothing different here. It's
nothing
just,
different.
Now we're just standing outside and booing the book.
We're just more refined here. Yeah. So that's it. I'm sure we'll have more information this week. Dave and Brian will talk about it. They did a great Wrestling Observer Radio last night. I really recommend you check it out. Let's go into AEW here. AEW Collision from Cardiff yesterday afternoon. Great. I love an afternoon wrestling show. This was fun. Swerve Strickland, Josh Alexander. Jason, I keep calling this poor man, and I know Josh, he's a great guy. I keep calling him Jason Alexander, and this sends me into a vortex of just Seinfeld wrestling. Jerry, I'm wrestling Swerve. Swerve Strickland, Josh Alexander. Swerve grabbed the mic and said he did not come back to face the Don Callis family. He came back for the AEW World Championship, and Hangman was not the only guy after Joe. Ah, this is setting something up now, isn't it?
They announced it. They announced it at the end of the show without any really...
Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander. We'll get to that. Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander defeated the Sisters of Sin. Claudio Castagnoli and Takeshita. This was a great match. This went to a time limit draw. Oh. This was a very good match.
So they're both champions in other promotions. So I thought it was a way to keep them protected.
Yeah. Yeah. This was very well done. Yeah, you had the CMLL champion against the New Japan champion.
Yeah.
Very wild, and they were both protected. I thought that was... listen, creative ending,
Claudio
right?
Claudio might win this. I think they might put Claudio in that spot.
If you're talking about the right guy, he would be one of those people that is up there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a clever way to protect both champions. Babes of Wrath. Championship celebration. Tony Storm and Mina came down to the ring to celebrate with them, but said they gave the audience a fight to remember. All right. Mercedes Moné came to the ramp. This happened. Moné comes out to the ramp and said that she couldn't have a championship celebration without her. They challenged her to a match, but she said she couldn't find any friends, but she said she would for Dynamite. So who is her friend?
Sisters of Sin, is my guess. It's simple, easy.
Mike Bailey defeated Kevin Knight. This was awesome. Did you see that spot?
Oh, where they jumped.
They jumped. They did like a coast to coast in the middle, and they did the crash in the air. Great spot. I mean, that was a great, great spot. These two are so good. Kevin Knight is really good. Mike Bailey is great. Mark Briscoe defeated Daniel Garcia to retain the TNT title. AEW Dynamite Holiday Bash this Wednesday. You got the Elite against the Don Callis family. Looking forward to that. Kenny's back. Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal.
I think there's a spoiler in who's coming back here. It's kind of obvious.
I don't know. We'll see. Mercedes Moné, Athena, Megan Bain, Marina Shafir against the Babes of Wrath and Timeless Love Bombs. I want to touch on that. I mean, I think a couple people could come back.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Max?
Right. That's the obvious one I was talking about.
If there's somebody to come back, that would be the one, right? Let's see.
Well, that ring is synonymous with him. And
a ring is synonymous. And
putting on someone without a story makes no sense, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who he feuded with for that ring?
Oh. No.
Cody. Remember?
Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay.
And he did a thing. Didn't he do a thing with DDP?
Maybe early on.
Yeah.
It's
5 years ago. 6 years ago now. 6 years ago. 7 years almost. Wild. Mascara Dorado against Orange Cassidy. John Moxley versus Roderick Strong. Kyle Fletcher versus Pac. AEW World Tag Team Championship. FTR versus Bang Bang Gang. Cool. AEW World Championship contract signing between Hangman Page, Swerve Strickland, and Samoa Joe. I would very much watch that final segment. If I'm gonna give you any teasers here, I will tell you, you better watch that.
The fact that they, I didn't like that they just said, oh yeah, we're adding Strickland to this match and didn't really give us a story why, other than I want to.
Maybe they'll explain it. Maybe they'll explain it better.
Yeah.
I'm giving this some
segment
time.
Yeah. Particular. Right.
I think there's going to be something here. Just, I'm telling you, watch this. AEW World's End, December 27th. AEW World Women's Champion, Chris Statlander defends against Jamie Hayter. Continental Classic semifinals and the finals. And Samoa Joe defends against Hangman Page and Swerve. All right.
So far.
So far. Yeah. Tony Khan, during the show in Cardiff yesterday, said that he asked for permission to bring AEW Dark back for one night, and it was filmed after Collision. No news on when this would be available. So I guess it'll be online. They'll post this online. But listen, they're heading into a couple interesting things here. They have this big show. They got the Hammerstein shows that they're recording next Saturday and Friday and Saturday, right?
They're doing a lot of traveling all of a sudden.
Yeah. And they got the pay-per-view on the 27th. I think this will be interesting, this pay-per-view. I think this main event's going to be very interesting. I think this contract signing will be very interesting. I think this Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royale for the ring and for the ring is going to be interesting. You know, and we'll see.
I haven't seen any results from it yet. But
from what?
Right now, they're doing the UK... what's the UK promotion that it's Wrestle? Whatever.
It's okay, you're
UK
malfunctioning.
One. Yeah.
Whatever that UK one is. Okay, we'll think of what it is during the break.
That show's going on, and Mercedes on it, and that's going on right now. I haven't seen any results for it.
Okay,
yet,
Mercedes has a match.
Oh, they're all over there doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna sizzle me for this, but okay.
Yeah, you know what? Sizzle him, please. Please sizzle him on social media. But all right, you know, I'm looking forward to this. A lot of good wrestling the next couple weeks. Interesting stuff happening here. I'll talk more about it this week. Probably on Tuesday I could talk about some things. Maybe I'll post something on Tuesday. When we come back, final segment of the show, boys and girls. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live. Here on Sports Byline, final segment of the show here. What my producer here was attempting to say was Mercedes Moné is wrestling at Rev Pro. Is that the mysterious British promotion that you speak of?
Yes, that was.
Mysterious, unknown promotion known as Rev Pro. Go ahead and castigate him, please. Castigate him on social media. I'm allowing it.
Brain died. Sorry.
Yeah. So as the year is wrapping up, MG, I wanted to touch on this because, you know, when we go into the new year, we'll probably talk about some of the best ofs. What were the best moments of this year? How would you rank this year as far as professional wrestling?
Oh, that's such a hard question to answer, right? I'm going to say I'd give it like if out of 10, I would give it maybe a 7 or 8.
It was fine. You know, but it's rarer to have bad years like that because there's so much good wrestling. As far as the wrestling goes, everybody's having good wrestling, just different styles. But if you are going to summarize it, I think it's going to be the year of the Mexican promotions. That is what the story here was the change in the Mexican promotions and how they're doing business. AAA obviously siding with WWE and being acquired by them. And CMLL's deep ties with AEW to the point that Claudio Castagnoli is their champion. TNA, you know, siding with WWE. There's obvious lines in the sand that have been drawn here. And the TV ratings falling for everybody, the TV viewership falling for everybody is going to be a big story next year. But a lot of changes here. And a way to end the year is with John Cena's retirement. It's a new era. A post-Cena era for WWE. Looking forward to seeing what happens. Guys, that's it for this week. We'll be back next Sunday discussing everything happening in the world of professional wrestling. Until next time, bye-bye for now.